Blog Talk Radio.
And you will become everything
that God created you to be. Amen. Amen. You will become everything that God created you to be. Well, just give an honor to God and everyone. I just thank God for his greatness. I exalt his name. I thank God for being magnificent above all anything that is imaginable. I thank God for every blessing that he has coming each and everyone's way that is out here in the struggle for righteousness. I thank God for biblical teaching. I thank God for the laws. I thank God for giving everybody this thing called grace and mercy to continue to have an opportunity to live out your assignment on this earth. I thank God for being the great I am. I thank God for being the God of miracles. I thank God for all the people out here that are fighting for righteousness, for the televangelists. So many people are so jealous. I thank God for each one of them that have meant something in my life. I thank God for Pastor T.D. Jakes. I thank God for the Hilliards. I thank God for the Olsteins. I thank God it's like every time I turned on at a certain point in my life, their ministry meant so much to me. I just give honor and praise, and I just pray to God that we can continue to be a blessing to the next person. If you're going through something in that sick program called the Targeted Individual Program, I urge you to just tune out of that targeting stuff and tune into Joel Osteen's ministry. That he's got some powerful words to just stand on, and I just heard his ministry on I Am, and just realizing that God created you to be a conqueror, a warrior. You weren't created to be a little pinion. You weren't created to be a kickball for nobody. And you got to tell Satan, no, baby. You turned that kickball into tennis and let that devil know that's him or he's the ball. You throw him from side to side. You stay in prayer and you keep building and building. And what the devil meant for bad, God will use for good. Develop that relationship with God and let the devil know, you're not going to play with me. I'm coming out of this. This here? And I'm going to do my share on behalf of the whole world, not just your own situation. There are too many innocent people going through this. I just read about a judge. These people came after Judge Paul. They got that man thinking he was mentally ill. We're going to pray for him, too. When you just don't know, it's a blessing to once you know. God has privileged a targeted individual community for them to be aware. You don't have to sit up in a dental seat and have that dentist inoculate you with pancreatic cancer and some kind of deadly cancer just because you don't know. You just couldn't fathom that anybody would be this evil. But we're here to say that the devil is coming down. The devil is a liar, that God is all sovereign, that God's word stands firm. We're living history. Evil's been on this earth a long time. They used to dip human beings in hot oil. Once I realized the magnitude of evil, you know, to dip a human being in hot oil, oh, evil's been around here. And the sin pot is full. So it gave the demons, you know, big time chance to try to control the earth. But the Bible tells us the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, so no demon from the pit of hell could ever take over this earth or have more power than God. So I just urge you to stand on God's word. Find a good Bible study. Find a program, even if it's not this one. And, you know, find a program that's good. And we're going to target it. We're going to bind up those evil spirits, those spirits of jealousy. I'm just dealing with, you know, I do so much volunteer work. And you've never heard me on this, any of the stations begging for money. And, you know, the devil, if people want you to work free, but yet they don't want to, you know, we're just going to pray for a giving spirit. We're going to pray that God touches people before you beg from somebody. If you have a giving spirit, give to the community. We need, their volunteers needed across this earth before we go out here appealing for this one to give and that. Let's have our seeds of generosity on this earth. Let's show our giving spirit. So, God, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, God, for this group here. They call it targeted individuals, but they're really the victorious ones, Heavenly Father. And their time just hasn't, the change hasn't occurred. Their prosperity, their good health, the out of the TI program, God, this electronic torture, we bind these demon spirits up. We bind up the spirit of induced poverty. We bind up that spirit of legal abuse, God. And we thank you, God, that you're building warriors here that can deal with this stuff and just let the devil know that he is a liar, that we serve the Almighty God. We serve the awesome God. We serve the sovereign God. And targeted individuals, God will never give you more. And if you're dealing with whether it's electronic torture, legal abuse syndrome, job mobbing, whatever it is, God gave it to you so you can come up with an answer to resolve it. I look forward to this community to finding the method to disable chips, to finding the method to disable implants, to finding the method to just make great changes on this earth. The devil is a liar. God's hand is on our lives. Let's use this time to do as the Bible says, that God expects us to do greater things, more powerful things. And just thank God you know what you know. You don't have to sit up in nobody's dental chair, no doctor's office, and let these people continue to experiment until they kill you. We bind up that spirit, though, that demon spirit of inoculating people with pathogens that kill. We just ask you, God, to build a shield around the many children that are suffering behind this, Heavenly Father, behind the innocent people. God, change things, turn things around, build up this community of people that think they're targeted, Heavenly Father, when it's really that your hand is on their lives. Let them continue to study, go to school. Let them be the doctors to have cures for every single one of these horrific atrocities these eugenicists have put on this earth. God, use them. God, I know you have special ed teachers for our special needs children. I know you have nurses coming out, God, to make changes that won't be controlled by these demons, by their money, that will be able to do healing and things according to your will, God. God, bless this community in the name of Jesus, God. I plead the blood of Jesus on every curse that was put in on the United States governing structures, that it will be turned into a blessing. I bind it up. I plead the blood, the blood, the blood, that those curses will have no effect. Every Houdini, every usurpation, every ritual that they've done, every top position that these demons have gotten open to put their little rulership demon, I bind it up. I plead the blood of Jesus. I break it. I call it null and void. I call God's word to be all sovereign. I call God's mightiness to run this earth. Boyden Gray, Jonathan Lippman, Daniel Labowitz, Adam Urbanski, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus that each one of you will be able to turn around, that the earth will know. God will use you to show this earth what not to ever allow again, and that you will meet up to the sovereign God that you thought that you can outsmart. And I pity anyone that was dumb enough to follow them. I bind up the spirit of deception. I bind up the spirit of illusions of legality. I bind up simulations of process. I bind up every fraud, deceit, scheme of Satan. I plead the blood of Jesus on it. And I'm just here to testify and say, God, I give you praise. I give you glory. Despite all I've been through, I know that God has the last word. And victory is mine through Jesus Christ. God, I praise you. I exalt you. I magnify your name. I pray for every person going through something, God, that you can just show them, God, that through you there's always a way, that you're the God of miracles, that you are the God of tomorrow. You're the God of the impossible. The devil is a liar. And those who've been sacrificed through the ignorance and the disabled public protection offices, God, may they rest in peace. May their families get closure to find out the real truth of what happened to them. God, we just give you praise and glory that only you can bring out the real truth, that these demon forces that have harmed millions of people from Africa to the United States, that God, they will be exposed. We will stand on Ephesians 5:9, Take no part in the works of darkness, rather expose them. To those out here targeting individuals, just keep up the good work. I just praise God for the community, the support system. I praise God for every warrior out here fighting to expose this program. I just thank God for everybody that knew that God didn't put them here to be at the feet of any demon. I thank God for every T.I. that's showing the devil that he is a tennis ball in the air, and you're going to bat him across. You are not the football. The devil is the tennis ball, and you slap that ball across. God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, God, for edification in your word. We thank you, God, for Bible study. We thank you, God, for knowledge and information you're giving us. We thank you, God, for clarity and understanding that the Bible is the oldest book on this earth. It is a book of law, literature, prophecy, revelation, and history. God, we thank you for the many lessons that can be learned from that book. And we thank you, God, as we study John tonight, our last gospel, and that we be edified in the word of God. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, God, for the week coming before us. We call blessings. We call things to be turned around. We call for arresting spirits, arresting demon spirits in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus that arrests will be made, that things are going to turn around, that this earth will be exemplified as it was created to be, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and every demon trying to fool themselves and usurp authority they do not have will be put back in their place. According to God's will. God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you and we praise you. We exalt your name. We thank you, God, that according to your time, we're just going to be patient. I had to learn this thing called patience. Patience. And while you're being patient, remember that what the devil meant for bad, God can use for good. As the word of God tells us, stand. And you going through something, just stand and just know that in God's time, things are going to turn around. They're going to turn around. They will turn around. Don't let nobody tell you that you're going to stay in this sick program. We serve an almighty God. We need praying people. We need warriors. You want out of this program, you stand in prayer. You start fasting. Let that devil know he's coming down. Fasting and praying. Jehoshaphat did it. We can do it. There is no demon too big for the Most High God. So I just thank you, God. I decree and declare for justice to reign across this earth, for things to turn around, for spiritual warfare to be taught in public protection offices, that the debt deceit will be dissolved, dismantled, that when we go to public protection offices, that they will be able to do the job they were created to do, that they will be able to help people. We bind up the spirit of using public protection offices to further victimize victims. We bind up the spirit of ignorance, the lack of knowledge of people on a payroll, on debt deceit validation. We bind up that spirit, that demon spirit that kept the Holocaust alive, that demon spirit that kept apartheid alive. Satan, we bind you up in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. That demon spirit will not hit here in the United States or New York. We plead the blood, the blood, the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right. We're looking at the book of John. And this chapter here, we're studying the Gospels and the life of Jesus Christ. And we've been looking at the life of Jesus Christ from four perspectives. We looked at Mark, Matthew, Luke, and tonight we're looking at John's perspective. And we're going to take a look here. It's a summary. We'll have a final exam will be probably Tuesday or Friday next week. We'll do it a few times on the Gospels and the life of Christ. And again, this is now John's viewpoint of Jesus Christ. We thank God we had different people that wanted to give their perspectives of their encounter with Jesus Christ, and they left it in a book for us to take a look at. We will find similarities. All of them seem to be, were very much just surprised in different areas of Jesus' life. We looked at Mark. He was so impressed with Jesus' humanity level. He was just such a humane person. He pointed out a lot of that. He looked at Jesus Christ's background through Mary. And let's take a look at the book of John here. So we'll go through a little outline and then a few more key areas for the book of John. So the scriptural outline of John, the incarnation of the Son of God. I think it Mark. Mark considered Jesus the Son of Man. Each one had a different perspective. John looks at God, Jesus Christ as the incarnation Son of God. So I know that's one of the test questions. Mark, did he see God, Jesus as the Son of Man or Son of God? And Mark saw Jesus as the Son of Man. John sees Jesus as the Son of God. That's in John 1, 1 through 18. And he also, he talks about the incarnation of God. He talks about the deity of Christ. All in chapter 1, these are the key areas in chapter 1. The deity of Christ, the pre-incarnate work of Christ, the forerunner of Christ, the rejection of Christ, the acceptance of Christ, and the incarnation of Christ. All of that is discussed in chapter 1. Chapter 1 also goes into the presentation of the Son of God. John gives a presentation of Jesus as the Son of God. Okay. John's witness to the priests and the Levites, all chapter 1. John's witness at Christ's baptism, chapter 1, the presentation of Christ to John's disciples. Andrew and Peter decide to follow Christ. Philip and Nathan follow Christ, all in John 1. Then in John 2, it goes into the presentation of Christ in Galilee. And then we go into the first sign, Christ changes water to wine, chapters 2, verses 1 through 10. Then the disciples believe. This is all chapter 2. The presentation of Christ in Judea. Christ cleanses the temple. Christ witnesses to Nicodemus. That's chapter 3. Christ witnessed to Nicodemus. Now we're going into chapter 3, the key areas. John the Baptist witnesses concerning Christ. Then we go into chapter 4. We have the presentation of Christ in Samaria. Christ witnesses to the woman at the well. Christ witnesses to the disciples. Christ witnesses to the Samaritans. The presentation of Christ in Galilee. We have Christ is received by the Galileans. Second sign, Christ heals the nobleman's son. This is all John 4. Then we go into John 5. We have the opposition of the Son of God. Boy. You know, there was so much opposition that Jesus found. Each of the Gospels talked about it. He was persecuted so badly. And if you understand the TI program, you know that demon spirit, you don't have a choice but to know God if you're in this targeted individual program. Because that demon spirit of persecution, how people will tear you apart and you have done nothing to them or nothing but good, tear you apart. You have to know that this book is real, because that's a spirit that obviously has been on this earth a long time, and that the way they tore down Jesus, I know when people just will join in. It's unbelievable, but you're living it if you're a TI. Okay, so John 5 goes into the third sign. Christ heals the paralytic man. Then the Jews reject Christ. That's in John 5. And then we have the opposition during Passover time in Galilee. That's John 6. John 6 goes into the fourth sign, Christ feeds 5,000. The fifth sign, Christ walks on water. And Christ announces, and that's all in the six. The opposition at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem is in chapter 7. Before the Feast of Tabernacles, in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, then it goes to John 8 goes into the after the Feast of Tabernacles. The opposition of the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, that's in John 10. John 11 talks about the opposition at Bethany. The seventh sign, Christ raises Lazarus, that's John 11. The Pharisees plan to kill Christ, that's John 11:45. Mary anoints Christ, John 12. The opposition at Jerusalem, John 12. The triumph entry, John 12:12. The Messiah teaches, John 12:23. Then we go into the part four of John, the preparation of the disciples by the Son of God. That's John 13. The preparation in the upper room. Christ washes the disciples' feet. Christ announces Judas the betrayer. The room discourse. Then we move right into 15. The preparation on the way to the garden. Christ instructs the disciples. Christ intercedes with the Father. That's John 17. And we have part five. The crucifixion and the resurrection of the Son of God. That's in John 18. We have the rejection of Christ, the arrest of Christ, the trials of Christ, all John 18. The crucifixion of Christ, John 19. We have Pilate's inscription, soldiers cast lots, Mary's committal, Christ's death, all in John 19. We have the burial of Christ, John 19. But in John 20, we have the resurrection of Christ. We have the appearance of Christ. Christ appears to Mary Magdalene. Christ appears to the disciples. He appears to the purpose of John's gospel is explained in John 20. And then Christ speaks to Peter, John 21. And the conclusion of John's gospel is John 21:24-25. In summary, Christ John, Christ of John. The book of John presents the most powerful case in the entire Bible for the deity of the incarnate Son of God, a man called Jesus, John 9:11. It's also called Christ, the Son of the Living God, John 6:6-9. The deity can be seen in his seven I am statements. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. I am the door, John 10:7-9. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11-14. I am the resurrection and life, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. I am the true vine, John 15. The seven signs, John 1-12, and some of the most crucial affirmations of his deity are in John 1, John 8, John 10:14-20. The Word was God, John 1:1, but the Word also came flesh, John 1:14. The humanity of Jesus can be seen in his weariness, John 4:6, his thirst, John 4:7. His dependence, John 5:9, his grief, John 11:35, his troubled soul. His troubled soul, John 12:27, and his anguish and death, John chapter 19. What are the keys to this chapter? Some of the key words. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The fourth gospel has the clearest statement of purposes in the Bible. So these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name, John 20:31. John selected the signs he used for the specific purpose of creating intellectual conviction, that you may believe in that spiritual conviction, that believing you may have life about the Son of God. The key verb in John is believe, and it requires both knowledge and volition. The predominant theme of this gospel is the dual response of faith and unbelief to the person of Jesus Christ. Those who place their faith in the Son of God have eternal life, but those who reject him are under the condemnation of God, John 3:36, John 5:24, and John 10:27. This is the basic issue, John 1:11. It summarizes the responses of accepting or rejecting the Son of God. That rejecting the Son of God that are traced through the rest of the book. The rejection of Jesus by his own people can be seen over and over again in John chapters 2-19. His own did not receive him. However, John also lists a number of men and women who believed in him, but as many as received him. The key verses, John 1:11-13. The key chapters, chapter 3:16 is without doubt the most quoted and preached verse in all of Scripture. Captured in it is the gospel in its clearest and simplest form, that salvation is a gift of God and it is obtainable only through belief. The conversation with Nicodemus and the testimony of John the Baptist provide the setting that clearly points out that being born again is the only way into the kingdom of God. A brief survey of John. The most unusual gospel, with its distinct content and style, serve three synoptic gospels. It's easily the simplest and yet the most profound of the gospels, and for many people it is the greatest and most powerful. John writes his gospel for the specific purpose of bringing people to spiritual life through belief in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The five basic sections of this gospel are the incarnation of the Son of God, the presentation of God, of the Son of God, the opposition to the Son of God, the preparation of the disciples by the Son of God, and then the crucifixion and resurrection of the Son of God. The incarnation of the Son of God is talked about in John 1:1-18. This introduces the rest of the books and gives the background for the historical narrative that follows. It dates the nature of Jesus. It introduces his forerunner. It clarifies his mission, and it notes the rejection and acceptance he will find during his ministry. Then the second part is the presentation of the Son of God. John presents Jesus as the Son of God. That's in John 1:19 through John 4-54. In this section, Christ is under careful consideration and scrutiny by Israel. He is introduced by John the Baptist, who directs his own disciples to Christ. Shortly, the author begins listing the seven signs, which continue through the next section. John carefully selects seven miracles out of the many that Christ accomplished, John 21:25, in order to build a concise case for his deity. They are called signs because they symbolize the life-changing results of belief in Jesus. Water to wine, the ritual of law, is replaced by the reality of grace. Wow. Again, he talks about miracles in John 1-4. He talks about water to wine, and then he goes into the ritual of law, how the ritual of law is replaced by the reality of grace. Can you imagine? I mean, they were using that law. The law can be so manipulated, and God, the grace of God, will override everything. Then he talks about healing the nobleman's son. The gospel brings spiritual restoration. Then we have healing the paralytic. Weakness is replaced by strength. We have feeding the multitude. Christ's sacrifice satisfied spiritual hunger. Walking on water. The Lord transforms fear to faith. Slight to the man born blind, Jesus comes and brings in light. Then we have Jesus raising of Lazarus. The gospel brings people from death to life. These signs combine to show that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Then we have in John, he goes into the third part of the book of John, which is the opposition to the Son of God. And that's John 5:1-12. John's unusual pattern in these chapters is to record the reactions of belief and disbelief after the performance of one miracle before moving to the next. In a series of growing confrontation, John portrays the intense opposition that will culminate in the Lord's final rejection on the cross. Even though many people received him, the inevitable crucifixion is is foreshadowed in several places. John 2:4. The preparation of the disciples by the Son of God. John 13:1. John surveys the incarnation and public ministry of Jesus in 12 chapters, but radically changes the pace in the next 5 chapters to give a detailed account of a few crucial hours. In this clear and vivid recollection of Jesus' last discourse to his intimate disciples, John captures the Lord's words of comfort and assurance to a group of fearful and confused followers. Jesus knows that in less than 24 hours he will be on the cross. Therefore, his last words speak of all the resources that will be at the disciples' disposal after his departure. They will be indwelt and empowered by the triune Godhead. The Upper Room Discourse contains the message of the epistles in capsule form, as it reveals God's pattern for Christian living in the key themes of servanthood, the Holy Spirit, and abiding in Christ are developed. And the last part of John goes into the crucifixion and resurrection of the Son of God, John 18. After recording Christ's high priestly prayer on behalf of his disciples and all who believe in him through their word, John 17:20, John immediately launches into a dramatic description of Christ's arrest and trials before Annas, Caiaphas, and Pilate. In his crucifixion, Jesus willfully fulfills John the Baptist's prophetic words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," John 1:29. John closes his profound gospel with a particularly detailed account of the post-resurrection appearance of the Lord. The resurrection is the ultimate sign that points to Jesus as the Son of God. John, life in Jesus, the Son of God. About 40 years after the first New Testament book was written, God inspired the aged apostle John to compose the last of the gospel accounts. It's known today as the fourth gospel. In many ways, it is distinct from the other three Gospels, and it serves as a capstone revelation of the life and ministry of Christ. Today, it is often the first New Testament book recommended to new Christians. That is because it has a combination of many desirable features that make it a primer for reading and study. It clearly presents foundational truths. It combines facts and interpretation. It presents the way of salvation succinctly and persuasively, John 3:16. It is very setting. Its very setting and atmosphere are universal. It's picturesque and attractive in varied forms. And the background, a little bit about the author. Authors of many Bible books are identified by name. This is so in the case of the Gospel of John. The traditional view is that John the Apostle, sometimes referred to as John the Evangelist, was the author. Hence, the title John, Gospel of John, or Gospel according to John. According to John 21, the disciple whom Jesus loved was the author. Read also John 13:23 and 19:26 for other similar descriptions of this disciple. In each case, John could be the disciple meant. If John was the author, why do you suppose he would not name himself in those passages? Listed below are some descriptions and other facts concerning the Apostle John. His family. John was the son of Zebedee, John 21:2. And Salome, Matthew 27:56. Since Salome was sister of Jesus' mother Mary, Jesus and John were cousins. That would partly explain the close relationship between the two. He was related to James. John was brother of the apostle James. Jesus surnamed both men Boanerges, meaning son of thunder, a name indicating perhaps a fiery personality, Luke 9:52. He was a fisherman. Zebedee, James, and John were fishermen at the Sea of Galilee. Zebedee was probably well-to-do, Mark 1:19. He had a Christian ministry. He was a follower of John the Baptist. John has may have been a disciple of John the Baptist when Jesus called him to his service, Mark 1:20. His age at that time has been around 25, and he lived to be about 100. He was a companion of Peter. John was a Palestinian, a Jew, close companion of Peter, a contemporary of the events of his gospel writing. Excuse me. John wrote three epistles, that's three letters, and Revelations, in addition to his gospel, because Revelation refers mainly to the last days. The statements may be made that as John the Baptist prepared the way for the first coming of Jesus, the Apostle John has prepared the way for Christ's second coming. His later life, there are only a few historical references to John after the events of the Gospels. John was Peter, and one of John's contacts with Paul and John's exile experience around AD 95, his character. From New Testament biography and epistles, a composite personality image of John is seen through the images, though the image is incomplete in some respects. John was a man of courage, fervor and loyalty, spiritual perception, love and humility. The subject of love is a key note of the epistles. Of this, a man, God writes, as Christ tames his ardor and purified it of unrestrained violence, John became the apostle of love, whose devotion was not excelled by that of any other writer of the New Testament. The place and date of writing. The latter years of John's life was spent around Ephesus, hub city of Asia Minor, where the apostle was teaching, preaching, and writing. The advanced nature of John's gospel points to the fact that of the other three gospels that had already been written and that a period of time had elapsed since their writing. Now the church's need was for the statement of the same story of Christ, but with more reflection and interpretation combined with the narrative. On the basis of all of this, it may have been concluded that John wrote his gospel toward the end of the century or around AD 85. 10 years later, around AD 95, John was exiled by the emperor Domitian to the island of Palmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. Wow. I didn't realize John wrote Revelation. Any questions? Nava? Any comments? Okay. The original readers. By the time John wrote his gospel, the church had matured in its transition. It matured to a universal outreach. From our study of Luke, written about 25 years earlier, we learned that the third gospel had helped men understand the broader scope of Christ's message by showing the gospel universal application. By the time of the appearance of John's gospel, it was very natural for the message of this fourth gospel to be directed to the world at large. There are many internal evidences of the universal outreach. For example, John knew, as he wrote, that not many of his readers would be Jews, so he translated Hebrew and Aramaic. He translated Hebrew and Aramaic words. He explained Jewish religious practices such as the burial custom. There are many other characteristics of his writing that revealed he wrote the book of John for a universal application. His style of writing. There's a basic simplicity about the language and structure of the fourth gospel, whereas the meaning of its message ranges from the in John 3:16, from the perspicuous, P-E-R-S-P-I-C-U-O-U-S, perspicuous, to the mystical. A man of God during the Reformation wrote, never, I turned the wrong page, give me a second here. Boy. I'm going to fight this cold off. In Jesus' name, I bind this cold up. Oh, boy. Give me a second here. Okay. I bind this cold up in Jesus' name. Oh, boy. The devil is a liar. Yeah, but a ball here. They took the page off. Okay, here it is. Excuse me. Oh, boy. Okay. All right, we were at the place and date of writing. I think I did. I did his character, his style of writing. All right, there is a basic simplicity about the language and structure of the fourth gospel, whereas the meaning of its message ranges right from the perspicuous to the mystical. A man of God during the Reformation wrote, "Never in my life have I read a book written in simpler words than this, and yet the words are inexpressible." Another theologian has expressed it this way: the noble simplicity and the dim mystery of the narration, the tone of grief and longing with the light of love shedding is tremendous beam on the whole. These impart to the Gospel of John a peculiar originality and charm to which no parallel can be found. John is a book of contrast, moving quickly from grief and sadness to joy and gladness, from the storms of opposition to the peace of fellowship, from condescension earthward to ascension heavenward, from doubt to faith, from life to death. Any attractive reader of the gospel must be stirred within as he ponders what its narrative has to do with him. Purposes and theme of John. The three different writings of John, the Gospel, the Epistles, and Apocalypse, reveal three different basic purposes of the author. The Gospel, the evangelic founding and nurturing of the church. The Epistles, the organic shaping of the church. The Apocalypse, the eternal future of the church. It's interesting to observe that one author should be divinely assigned such a wide range of contents for writing. John explains specifically in John 20, verses 30 to 31, why his gospel was written. It was primarily to win unbelievers, both Jew and Gentiles, to saving faith. John also must have had in mind the confirming of believers in their faith so that the church would have a stronger witness. Read John 20, 31 for John's purpose in reporting the signs of Jesus Christ in his gospel. The miracles were called signs by John because these signified vital spiritual truths. But to come to a personal relationship with Jesus through faith in him as the Christ, the Son of God. The theme of this account may be stated as life in Jesus, the Son of God. Keep in mind the words believe and life and ask. And life as key words of John, the Gospel. What is the connection between signs, belief, and life? John has also had other purposes in mind, subordinate but related to those mentioned above. One was to refute the heresy of Docetism, which denied the true humanity of Jesus. Observe John's answer in John 1:14. Another was to expose the unbelief of those who trusted in Judaism. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him, John 1:11. In relations to the synoptic gospels. The four canonical gospels record identical good news about the same good God-man, Jesus. The canonical gospels are all four gospels. The synoptic gospels are all of the gospels except John, just for clarification. John the Gospel has its own unique function. The one gospel markedly different from the other three is John. John is a little different. They all talk about the life of Jesus Christ, the important features, the miracles, the great work he did. John goes into a little more detail. I'll go into that in a minute. How is the book of John different from the other three? Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of them talk about their encounter with Jesus. They give their opinion. That's what the book is. Their, you know,